Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege of coming here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we ask you to direct our hearts and minds so that our worship truly comes from our heart, that it gives praise to your holy name. And may our worship be pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us from all our sins. May you fill us with the only true wisdom, the wisdom of your salvation, Christ crucified for us. We ask these things in his saving name. Amen. Please be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 702. The order of service that's found printed in your service bulletin. Our service comes from the first part of the Brown Worship Supplement, beginning on page 12, if you'd like to follow the musical notations in that book. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and have deserved only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, he has removed our guilt forever. Through faith in him, which is created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give you the strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you.
Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning is from Psalm 67. We'll read that psalm responsively on the middle of page 3 in your bulletin. May God be gracious to us and bless us.
And may his face shine upon us.
That your way may be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And guide the nations upon earth.
Let all the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase.
God, our God, shall bless us.
God shall bless us.
Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Our gospel reading for this morning is from the Gospel of John. We'll read verse from chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. These verses come immediately after our sermon text for today. In this section of John chapter 1, as well as the section we'll be doing in our sermon, we hear John the Baptist exclaim that Jesus is the Lamb of God. That will be the focus of our sermon today. Again, the next day, John, that is John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let's join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed on the bottom of page 4. Please rise for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 384.
Thank you. Please rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has been revealed to us through God's Word, the Scriptures, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from John chapter 1. We'll read verses 29 through 34. The next day, John, again that's John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Every once in a while you'll see a program on TV or maybe a book or a magazine that proposes to investigate and reveal the quote-unquote real Jesus. Usually these things pop up around Christmas time or Easter, one of the high church festivals. In fact, I do remember seeing a few magazines in the grocery store that did this very same thing. Who is the real Jesus? Or new revelations about Jesus. And what you find all too often if you watch one of those programs or if you peruse some of the articles or parts of these magazines or books is that you find they don't actually reveal the real Jesus at all. Because oftentimes they either completely ignore or they twist or they don't take into account the very place where Jesus is truly revealed. And that is in the Bible. Right now we're in a season of the church year that focuses especially on the revealing of Jesus, the season of Epiphany. The word Epiphany means just that, to reveal or to make known. Sometimes you hear some of the older definitions for it, like manifestation. But it means to reveal something. Epiphany means reveal, make known. So during the season of Epiphany, we're going to look at various ways in which the Bible reveals Jesus to us, the real Jesus. And so we pray the Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of all truth, would reveal to our hearts and minds the real Jesus. And may he bless our study in the coming weeks. In our text for today, we see Jesus revealed as the Lamb of God. That might seem a little bit of a strange description to us. First of all, Lamb of God may not be the first picture of Christ that comes to our mind. One that's probably more prominent and a bit ironic is the fact that Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. That might be one that comes to mind more readily than Jesus being the Lamb or the Lamb of God. However, this description of Jesus, not just as shepherd, but also as Lamb, specifically Lamb of God, is a very fitting picture of who Jesus is and what he came to do. Now put yourselves in the shoes of John the Baptist, the people of his day. Put yourself in the shoes of John's disciples, who we read about both in our sermon text and our gospel reading for today. If you put yourself in their shoes, you'll see they probably had a different view and a more familiar view with what it meant when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Because the people of Israel, people not just of John's day, but for thousands of years, were very familiar with lambs, especially when it came to sacrifice. The lamb was a very important part of their history, a very important part of their worship life as well. Several thousand years earlier, when the Lord was freeing the children of Israel from their slavery in Egypt, with the last of his 10 plagues, a lamb played a very prominent role. A lamb, one without blemish or defect, which God had commanded each household to kill, to roast, to eat, and then spread blood on the doorposts and the sides of the door frame was what caused the angel of death to pass over on the very first Passover. The Lord had told his people in Exodus chapter 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." It played an important part as you continue through Israel's history as well. God commanded that lambs be used for the daily offering, one in the morning and one in the evening. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 29. When you look in the book of Leviticus and you see some of the commandments that God gave to his people as for their ceremonies and religious worship artifacts and also their the things they were supposed to sacrifice, you find him saying that a male, a lamb without blemish, was to be used for the burnt offering. A lamb was also to be used as the sin offering. So lambs had an important part in the history and the worship life of the Israelites for thousands of years. And you can see the picture of Jesus in both these sacrificial lambs and in the Passover lamb, can't you? A very clear picture. On that first Passover, the blood of that lamb covered the people and they were saved from that tenth plague. They were saved from having their firstborn die. Those who are covered by Jesus, the Lamb of God, are saved from an even worse fate. Saved from sin, from death, and even hell itself. The Apostle Peter writes, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." Jesus and the salvation he won for us by his sacrifice as the Lamb of God has been revealed to you and to me, even in these last times as well. It's been revealed to us through the Word of God. Now, Christ's sacrifice as the Lamb of God also put an end to the need for all of those other Old Testament sacrifices. The sacrifice of a lamb in the morning or the evening, or a burnt offering of the lamb, or a sin offering of the lamb. That sacrifice was fulfilled and made once for all on Jesus' cross. We look to verses like Hebrews chapter 9 to find these words. "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood," Jesus' blood, "he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how will he not cleanse your consciences from dead works to serve the living God?" So this lamb, the Lamb of God, did not have to be sacrificed day after day, but once for all time. And the lamb, Jesus, did not just bear the sins of an individual, such as the priest who came in to offer the sacrifice, but as John says, bore the sin of the whole world. This Lamb of God, took away all sin. So what does this lamb, who's very foreign to our worship services, what does he have to do with you and me today? Well, as you come to worship, are you plagued this morning by some sin or sins? Are you burdened with guilt by things that you've done? Maybe you're burdened with that horrible guilt of not doing the things that you should have done, that to-do list that you feel guilty about not doing, a list that maybe someone in your life has given you. Or maybe the list that you see God giving you in his word and saying, "I can't fill that list. I can't do all those things perfectly." Lay those sins on the Lamb of God. He's already borne them for you. He's already paid for each one of them and taken them away on the cross. Martin Luther wrote about this very verse and said these words. He says, "The Son of God says to me, 'You are no longer a sinner, but I am your substitute. All your sins are to rest on me, on Jesus, and not on you.'" Let's make sure, however, we don't get the wrong impression about this Lamb of God. Let's not get the impression that he is simply weak and helpless just because of some of the prophecies about this Lamb. Prophecies like Isaiah 53 that says, "He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Now, Isaiah is prophesying there about what this Lamb came to do, what Jesus came to do. He came to die. He came to be the sacrifice for all sin, and he came to be the Savior. But our text also reveals to us something about this Lamb of God, something else, something important about this Lamb of God. John also testifies in our text that he was the Son of God. He is the Lamb who was slain, past tense, but now lives and rules all things. This Lamb is also the Lord of lords and the King of kings. With his almighty power, he can help us in our weaknesses. He can rescue us in all of our troubles. He is the one, he is the Lamb who is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, as that song in Revelation sings to the Lamb. So look and see Jesus revealed, not in a magazine or on a TV show, but here. Look and see Jesus revealed in the Bible as the Lamb of God. Look here and behold the Lamb of God, who takes away your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thankful hearts will now be received.
Continue with our next hymn, hymn 547. rise. Are there any prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O God, we praise and bless you for revealing Jesus to us. We thank you that he came to be the Lamb of God to take away all of our sins and the sins of the whole world. By your Holy Spirit, implant in us more and more the mind of Christ. Make us glad to go into your house. Open our ears that we may gratefully hear and attend to the teaching and preaching of your word. In everything we do, Heavenly Father, enable us as young and old alike to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Keep us from being conformed to this world and transform us by the renewing of our minds, that we may show forth your good and perfect will in our every thought, word, and action. Hear our prayer, O God, for all who are part of your family by faith in your Son. Prosper and bless our worship and our witness to Christ and his power to save. Fill us more and more with zeal for the true word of the gospel and the eager desire to bring that saving word to all people. Give your strength and blessing to all pastors, teachers, and missionaries, that they may proclaim your word with faithfulness and diligence and bring the light of the gospel to people of all lands and nations. In your mercy, dear Lord, show your strength and goodness to those who are sick or afflicted, to those who are distressed and doubting, and to all who face troubled times with problems of health, with problems of employment, love loneliness, or of troubled relationships. Give them grace to cast their cares upon you in the knowledge and assurance that you care for them. Help, heal, and strengthen them, and in all things enable them and all of us to rejoice in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We worship him and adore him with you and the Holy Spirit, and in his name we pray now the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn for this morning is hymn 606.
be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. We pray that you bless the message you've heard today. It's a blessing to be back with you again, and we thank the Lord for a relaxing and enjoyable honeymoon with very safe travel throughout the trip. Not without some hiccups, but safe travel throughout the trip. Today, there will be our Southern California worship service. It will be held this evening. The pastor here at Phoenix will be taking that service at 6 p.m. Some announcements for this week. There will be no school tomorrow at St. Stephen Lutheran School. Tuesday, our elders will be at 6:30. Church council will be at 7. Wednesday, a catechism class over Skype at 7 p.m. And Thursday, our Board of Education meets, and we'll meet at Ida Drew's residence at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Next Sunday, we'll be having our Bible class at the usual time of 9 a.m. and the worship service with communion at 10. And we're happy to announce also that we'll not only be celebrating communion next Sunday, but also the other sacrament of baptism. Aaron and Nick Hasselbeck are having their baby Claire baptized next Sunday during the worship service. So please come and join us for that. Reminder also that our annual voters meeting will be Sunday, January 28th. So that's in 2 weeks. If you have reports due, they are due next Sunday, the 21st, and you'll turn it in to Nick Hasselbeck. Any other announcements I am forgetting today? Any other announcements at all today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.